For our final hymn, let's stand. And Sir Isaac Watts wrote a number of great hymns of the faith. Amen. And this is one of them. Glory to God. At the Cross. Hymn number 62. For our final hymn this morning. Please be seated, beloved. Good singing this morning. And I'll have you to know, Sister Val, that Carol let me know about the parking job at the handicap spot at Applebee's. Flight director or what? Oh, that is funny. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our Bibles this morning.
Yeah, and I got on that
plane. And... we'll get right to the word. Praise the Lord. We'll sing again after. And open up your Bibles this morning, church, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, accompanied the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys in the book of Acts. And we have abundant evidence of that throughout the book of Acts. But look with me here in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning. We have a most incredible passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ does something absolutely amazing, which was nothing new because he always did amazing things. He still does amazing things, church. Amen? What a great God. What a wonderful Savior we serve. So thankful for that. Luke chapter 13. And let's stand for the reading of God's holy word this morning. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus Christ is in the middle of his earthly ministry. 3.5 years. Jesus is busily traveling all over the holy land of Israel, preaching and teaching the kingdom of heaven. Amen? And winning disciples and teaching them about his Father's wonderful kingdom and how to get there. Amen? And here in Luke chapter 13, I want to call your attention to verse 10 of Luke 13. Look at me at verse number 10, beloved. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And you know, the Bible says over and over and over, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel is to go to the Jews first. That's why I was thankful. Sister Val was talking about the messianic ministries, how important it is to reach those Jews for Jesus. Amen? And verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed down, bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. I want to speak to you briefly this morning, beloved, on the sermon I've entitled, The Lifter Up of the Bowed Down. The Lifter Up of the Bowed Down. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these incredible verses this morning. For this gal that was paralytic, she was unable to arise, and you came along and touched her life, Lord. I am so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you touched my life on October 3rd of 1986 and changed me forever. Lord, we're so thankful every one of us in church this morning could get up and give testimony about how Jesus lifted us up out of the dregs of sin, out of our spiritual paralysis, and gave us a new life within. We thank you for that this morning. We ask you to bless your word and show us what meaneth these things concerning the lifter up of the bowed down. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. Here in the 13th of Luke, we have a woman described who was suffering terribly both in her physical body and in her spiritual soul. And in this great synagogue, she was probably the least noticed person of all. Her particular disease would have rendered her very short of stature. She had been dwarfed to nearly half her original size because of her paralysis. She was obviously quite lost in the crowd, which would stand for most of the service. But there was one person in that synagogue who had his compassionate eyes fixed upon her. Amen? His name is Jesus. I want to preach the message this morning, the lifter up of the bowed down. In so doing, I want to give you 6 things from our passage. The first thing I want you to notice, church, is this. Notice the condition of this woman. Look with me in verse number 10. And he, Jesus, was teaching in the synagogue and on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning that this poor gal couldn't go skiing. She couldn't go to the basketball tournament. She couldn't go to the motor inn swimming. She couldn't go bowling with her friends. Look at verse 11. It says in verse 11, she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. She could not stand. Are you getting the picture? Oh, beloved, this is the case of every lost soul in the world today without Jesus Christ. They cannot walk spiritually. They're spiritually comatose, paralyzed by sin. Listen, church, this is exactly how God, our Maker, sees mankind. Either just like this gal, bowed together, all crippled up and unable to stand, or walking in newness of life. There's no middle ground. You're either saved or lost. And this gal was in a horrible condition. Look with me at verse number 6. Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none, no life. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Listen, folks, there was no life, there was no fruit, there was no evidence of life in that tree. Jesus said, chop it down. You know what? This is exactly how this poor gal was. She had no way of getting up and living a normal life. Are you listening? She had been that way also, notice, for a long time. Look at verse 11 again. It says, Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you that some people abide in a state of spiritual death for many, many years, decades. Hey, I've seen them get saved in their 80s. Amen. We had one gal in our church up in Maine, and she prayed for her husband, who wasn't saved, for 50 years. Guess what? He came to the altar one Sunday morning and came to Jesus. Oh, that gal had tears flowing. She was rejoicing, dancing the aisles. Amen. Why? Because he had been that way for a long, long time. Until Jesus came along. Could you imagine how this poor gal felt? Unable to bathe herself. Unable to feed herself. Unable to do any of the basic necessities of life on her own. She had no way of helping herself. Little Johnny was visiting his grandfather one Saturday. And as he stood admiring the unreliable grandfather clock, he noticed a plaque just above it which read, Don't blame my hands, the trouble lies much deeper. It couldn't keep time accurately. And folks, that's how true that is of most people in the world today. They're in a sorry condition, just like this poor woman, because of troubles within. The trouble lies much deeper. Amen? And there's only one that can help, and that's the Lord Jesus. Also, notice her inability to get herself out of this condition. Look at verse 11, speaking of her condition. It says she could in no wise lift up herself. She had no way of correcting her problem. Listen, she could have gone to the best specialist, the best hospital, received the best medication, the best doctors, the best therapy. It wouldn't help her because her problem was incurable, humanly speaking. Amen? It would take a divine person to help this gal out. But something else I want you to notice, not only her sorrowful condition, realize the hand of Satan in her condition. Look with me in verse 14. In verse 11, it says she had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. Now folks, I hope you get your seatbelts buckled this morning. That's a demon right there. Those demons can do things to you physically. If you don't have the divine hedge of protection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his angels, they can affect the physical realm. They can cause abnormalities in the body. And this gal had one of them. Look at verse 14, I'll show you. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Oh, Jesus, you're messing up our religion. God forbid. Look at it, verse 14. And he said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not, look at verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Notice it. Jesus put his finger right on the problem. He said, the devil did this. Now, folks, don't misunderstand me this morning. There is such a thing as natural paralysis. There are natural diseases and maladies that human beings go through. Absolutely. But there are also demonic ones. Amen? And this one here was demonic. This one needed a supernatural deliverance. Verse 16, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus says, hey, Listen, the devil did this to her, and I'm casting the devil out, and you're getting mad at me. Oh, we might step on your tradition. Throw your tradition out the window and let Jesus Christ reign and rule. Amen? Just let him do what he wants to do, people. Now, it's real important, church, that we understand here what Jesus is saying. He's saying that the devil has bound this girl. How many people in the world today are bound by the devil? Folks, this is real. He's not saying that she was possessed by the devil. She wasn't possessed by the devil. She was bound by the devil. They're not spelt the same, as Doc Ruckman would say. Amen? You can be bound by the devil, but not possessed by the devil. You can be oppressed without being possessed. Now, though there is case of many people today where they have a physical infirmity, he's showing us that Satan had sent an evil spirit to bind her with a paralysis. Now, these are demons that cause physical abnormalities in the human body. And no doctor in the world can correct it. They'll try to put you on some medication, you know, some kind of physical therapy, some treatment, and it won't help. Millions and millions of people are bound by drugs and alcohol and sexual sin and all kinds of things. And only Jesus can set them free. The doctor can't help those people. The self-help guru, forget about it. Secular humanism, no way, won't work. They need Jesus Christ. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Hold your place in Luke. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to show you that there are many, many people all around us, beloved, that are bound, like this gal, by the devil. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look with me at verse 24. Don't miss this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, that's humility, instructing those that oppose themselves. You've heard it said, this guy's his own worst enemy. Most people are, because they won't come to Jesus. Look what he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, that's why we need to pray, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by who? Yeah. Him, the devil, at his will. Paul says by the Holy Ghost here that multitudes of people have been taken prisoner by the devil, and they don't even know it. And it's our job to tell them the truth in Jesus Christ that they might be, what's that word in verse 26? Recovered. Recovered. I'm so glad I'm a recovered one. Amen. I'm so glad that one day Jesus came along and recovered old Bob Oliver. I am so thankful for that. But there's so many more that need recovery. This gal needed this spiritual recovery that only Jesus could give. Beloved, the hand of Satan was in her condition, just like it is in the lost today. Our great enemy is called Satan over 50 times in the Bible. He's called devil 39 times. He's called the accuser of the brethren, the prince of this world, the god of this world, Lucifer, son of the morning, the deceiver, the evil one, the power of darkness, that old serpent, the dragon. And I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that he is real and he is seeking to destroy as many souls as he can. We're in a battle, church. I'm so glad we're not playing church. I'm so glad we understand that Christianity is a warfare where we are attacking the powers of darkness and rescuing sinners from the devil's clutch in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad this church is the real deal. I'm so glad we're seeking to bring the lost to Jesus Christ. That's what we're all about. The day we start doing that is the day we lock up these doors and go play golf. Beloved, we're not going to be no social club. Amen? We're in a warfare, and we want to fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Now, notice the hand of Satan in her condition. But something else. Observe the one who saw all this. Back to our text in Luke 13. Look at verse 12. Somebody saw it in verse 12. And when Jesus, what? Saw her, he what? Called her to him. Notice this, beloved, in the midst of all this misery, Jesus had his eye upon her. Amen? I'm so glad that in my wayward life, BC, before Christ, amen, I spent 27 years, I turned 56 last week, and thank you for the birthday gifts and cake, it was wonderful, but I spent 27 years on this earth without Jesus. And I was miserable until Jesus had his eye on me and he called me to him. Amen? Glory to God, beloved. We've seen her sad condition. We've seen the pot that Satan had in it. But here's the good news. Jesus saw it all. And when Jesus fixed his all-seeing eyes upon her, he read every line of her character. Amen? He knew all about her problem. He knew all about her pain, her suffering, her heartache. He saw every desire of her soul and every thought of her heart. Those eyes penetrated deep within her soul. And he said, I am your life. I've got the answer for you. Listen, beloved, they were eyes of love. They were eyes of compassion. They were eyes of caring and concern. And they were eyes that were able to change her circumstance. The man at the pool of Bethesda was unable to move himself into the water till Jesus came along and said, take my hand. Amen? He said, you don't need that water. You need me. He lifted him up. Glory to God. Did you know that Jesus has his eye upon you this morning, beloved? Every one of you. I've got good news from the pulpit today. Jesus loves you. And Jesus has his eye on your bowed down condition. Whatever it might be, I'm so glad that he's the answer. In Gatlinburg, Tennessee, a tiny town buried in the Great Smoky Mountains, the population is just 1,764 people. It's a little tiny town, virtually shuts down for the winter. But oddly, they have thousands of tourists, tens of thousands of tourists in the summertime. Most of the tourists come to see the Christus Gardens. You may have heard of it, where there is a great sculptured head of Jesus Christ. This breathtaking marble figure of Christ is sculptured in such a way that the eyes appear to look in every direction, regardless of where you stand. The eyes are upon you. Amen? There's a great spiritual truth in that statue. His eyes are upon you no matter where you stand today. Glory to God. His eyes were upon her. But something else I want you to see. Watch the loosing of the bound here in our text in chapter 13. Look at me at verse number 12. Watch the loosing of the bound. And he, verse 12, and when he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he, Jesus, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Glory to God, church. For the first time in almost two decades, this woman stands up and takes her first steps. Don't you think she's a little bit excited? Don't you think she's doing the two-step? Woo-hoo! I can walk! I can run the Boston Marathon! Jesus healed me! Glory to God, that's how salvation is. For the first time in that lost soul's life, they can see heaven. They know that Jesus is real, that there is a hell to shun in heaven again. Their eyes are open to the spirit world and they're now saved in newness of life. Glory to God. Notice how the loosing took place, beloved. Three ways I see the loosing of the bound took place. First, Jesus spoke the word. Look at verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't have to baptize her to do it. She didn't have to join the church, put the tithe in the plate, come to the altar, spit nickels, and do cartwheels. All she had to do was come to Jesus. And Jesus spoke the word and loosed her. Verse 13, look at that. He laid his hands on her. Listen, Jesus' word is action. What he says occurs. That's power. That's omnipotent power. Jesus spoke the word. Do you know that Jesus spoke the world into existence? He said, let there be light. That's power. Amen. You think you can take care of your problem? Oh, yeah. He's omnipotent. He's eternal. But something else. Secondly, how was she made straight? How was the loosing of the bond accomplished? First, Jesus spoke the word. Second, Jesus laid hold upon her. Amen? Look at verse 13. And he, Jesus, laid his hands on her. I don't know about you, but I like this. Because when Jesus Christ lays his hands upon a human being, that life is going to change. Mark her down. You cannot be the same when Jesus lays his hands on you. You'll never be the same. Why? Because of those omnipotent hands. They make change. He's the potter. I'm the clay. And he makes modifications in our lives that nobody else, including you and me, can make. I am so glad that Jesus reached down one day and grabbed hold of me. Amen? Listen, do you know what happens when Jesus grabs hold of you? He makes changes. Changes that nothing else in the universe can make in your life. Thirdly, how was the bound loosed? Jesus spoke the word. Jesus laid hold upon her. Thirdly, Jesus didn't delay. He didn't delay it. Look at verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. And what's that next word? Immediately. She was made straight. I am so glad. I talked to this one fellow a few weeks back. And I said, are you saved, bud? Do you know Jesus? Are you born again? He says, well, I'm working on it. I says, you're not saved. You're lost. You're not working on it. You're either saved and on your way to heaven, or you are lost and on your way to a devil's hell. There is no middle ground, because when Jesus lays hold on you, look at that word in verse 13. Immediately. So salvation is not progressive. Salvation is instantaneous. This gal was instantaneously delivered from her condition. Amen? It happened immediately because Jesus didn't delay. He never delays when a lost soul calls upon him. You know that? His arms are wide open. He said, I will draw all men unto me, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh yeah. He doesn't delay when someone comes to him. He rescues them immediately. In Walpole, Massachusetts, we have the famous penitentiary. Walpole. Oh boy. Buddy of mine that I grew up with, Kenny Tanner. Old Kenny, we went to school from kindergarten to the 12th grade. He didn't make it 12th grade. He dropped out in the 10th. But Kenny went, I went one way and Kenny went another way. Kenny went into a life of crime and drugs. And it got so bad that Kenny, he badly assaulted an old woman one day. Robbed her, took her pocketbook, and they caught him. The cops caught him. And because of his extensive criminal record, they stuck him in Walpole. They gave him 12 years at Walpole Penitentiary. Kenny was 18 years old. Skinnier than me. Kenny would not do well. And he told me, he said, Bob, he said, I'm going to Walpole next month. I got 12 years. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm not, you'll never see me again. I'm not coming out alive. He said, you know, no guy's going to touch me and blah, blah, blah. He was a stubborn one. Well, guess what? You know what they did to Kenny? They beat him to death because he wouldn't comply with the inmates. So they beat him. They found him dead in his cell. They hung him. They found him hanging in his cell. What am I saying? I'm saying that at Walpole State Penitentiary, there was a custom about 50 years ago where the warden of that prison would come once a year and gather all the inmates of Walpole into the courtyard. And he would declare the governor would come with the warden, and the governor and the warden would decide which of the best behaved inmate would get a complete pardon from the sentence, no matter how long the sentence was. So one day they come out there and the warden announces, Harry Dowling, step forward. No response. Harry Dowling, step forward. The guy next to Harry, Harry, they're calling your name. You're getting a pardon. Harry didn't even acknowledge they were calling his name. He had been in there and captive so long. But he was set free. You know what, folks? That's a picture of salvation. It's like when the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. He didn't even realize he could walk out of that prison. And that's what happened to this gal. Amen? Jesus set her free. And she could walk free. Glory to God. Something else I want you to see this morning quickly. Listen now. Notice her transformation from being crooked and twisted to being made straight. Look with me in verse number 13. She was crooked and twisted. And then she was made straight. Verse 13, and he, Jesus, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight.
I love this.
You know there's no filler words in the Bible? You know every word is there for a reason the Holy Spirit put in his word? What a picture we have here from the Dr. Luke giving us. Listen, in one moment she was bowed down, twisted like a pretzel. But in the very next moment she is straight, upright, and able to walk a straight path. Are you listening? When you got saved, some of us were pretty crooked. Some of us were pretty twisted. Hello? But guess what? He made me straight. Amen? He made my life a straight path. He takes you and he takes all the crookedness out. He takes all the twisted ways out. And he gives us a straight life to live. I am so thankful that Jesus, what a picture. Here, now listen. What a perfect portrait of a sinner receiving the redemption of Jesus Christ, radically transformed, amen, from a crooked life to a sanctified life. Now, that wanderer is enabled to live and walk and move in the paths of righteousness because of the Holy Spirit within, something they never had before. Notice the word in verse 13, made. You see that? Verse 13, she was what? Made straight. Folks, listen to me. Someone else made her straight. She didn't do it. Listen, salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should
boast.
No boasting. There is no boasting in salvation because he made me straight. Jesus did it. For her whole life, she'd go around telling people, yes, I'm that little paralyzed gal, but Jesus made me straight. Jesus healed me up. Glory to God. We've seen her condition. It was bad. We've seen the hand of the enemy against her, the devil. We've seen the one who saw her need. That was Jesus. We've seen the loosing of the bound. We've seen the divine transformation that took place. But one last thing must not be overlooked. Listen carefully, beloved. And notice the result of all of this. Look with me in verse 13. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight. And glorified God. I got good news in closing this morning, church. I know why you're in God's house today. I know something about you. It's because you want to glorify Him. You want to praise Him. You want to worship Him. You want to give Him all the glory for what He's done in your life and what He's doing. Amen? Listen now. He saved you, and immediately she glorified God. Listen now. He saved us from our sins, making us his very own. You know what she's doing in verse 13? She's now has a heart full of gratitude. Gratitude. You know this generation, this new generation? They're scary, man. They're scary. I don't mean to be critical this morning, beloved. I love our kids. I love this new generation. But they are scary because they are a generation of ingratitude. They're not thankful for anything. They are walking around with their iPhones and their boom boxes and their rap music, and they couldn't care less about what that book says.
And their tattoos, too.
Yeah, man. Listen, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. And what's one of the ways we can do that? Is by glorifying Him in our lives. A true Christian will always glorify God. A true Christian will have a heart full of desire to bring Him glory. She did. Look what it says. Immediately, she glorified God in verse 13. Now, I bet she was saying something like this. Oh, world! Listen. Give ear, O people of Israel. I was bound for 18 years with this infirmity. I have been here among you all. You've seen me. You've known what a poor, miserable wretch I was. But the Son of God has lifted me up. He's healed me, delivered me from that horrible condition. Blessed be the name of the Messiah. He has come. She had a testimony, amen? Could you imagine being there, seeing this in the synagogue, and this gal getting up and dancing around and praising Jesus? Beloved, we do witness this miracle. Every time a poor lost soul comes to Jesus Christ, we are witnessing a divine transformation, a supernatural miracle within that person, which will last forever. Woo!
Glory to God. I am so glad that Jesus Christ is the lifter up of the bowed down. Amen. He's the lifter up of the bowed down. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father in heaven, thank you this morning that Jesus is our lifter up. I thank you, Lord, that though we were once bowed down, though we were once bound by the devil, though we were once crippled by sin, Jesus came along and spoke the word and laid his hands upon us and lifted us up. Thank you, Lord. David said, out of the miry clay, he lifted me up and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. Oh, thank you, Lord, that just like this gal in Luke 13, we too have been resurrected, raised up together with Christ, made to sit in heavenly places, and walking in the Spirit in our life on earth. We thank you for that. We give you glory for that. But Lord, I know every person in this church this morning is saved. They've been made straight by your holy hand. I thank you for that. But oh God, there may be needs in this church, as there always are, with an uplifted hand and closed eyes. I'd ask, what is it this morning that has bowed you down, beloved? What is it this morning that you need this great Savior to come along and lift you up again? I see that hand. Glory to God, I see that hand too. He's able to lift you up out of that dilemma. I see that hand. Glory to God. He's able to lift you up out of that impossible situation. He's able to give you an answer and to work a miracle for you that you never expected. I'm here to tell you this morning. Thank you for these uplifted hands, Father in heaven. You've seen them. And I ask you to go to work. Roll up your sleeves, Lord Jesus, just like you did for this gal in Luke 13. And Lord, address these needs of your people. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to lift them out of that problem. You're able to lift them out of that trial. You're able to lift them out of that impossible situation. And you're able to give them walking grace. Oh, thank you, Lord, this morning for the message. And I thank you, Lord, for the countless multitudes of millions of precious souls down through the church age who have been made straight by the hand of Jesus. We praise you for that, Lord. A goodly heritage we have indeed, even the servants of the Lord. And we don't take it lightly this morning, Lord. We have a responsibility to share this good news with a lost and dying world. Lord, we want them all to come, though they won't. We want them all to come and be made straight by the hand of Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for something else in closing this morning. I want to thank you that there is no other plan. I want to thank you that there is only one answer for the spiritual cripple, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a church. It's not a system. It's not a university. It is a living, risen person. Jesus Christ, and you're coming back soon. We thank you for that, Lord. We look forward to seeing you face to face, where we will embrace you and hug you at your feet and bow before you and give you praise for saving our wretched souls. We love you this morning, and we ask you to help us to preach this message of the saving hand of Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. Thank you for our missionaries that are preaching it even now, this morning. And Lord, we just ask you to save souls while it is called today, while we're still in the church age dispensation. We pray for the fullness of the Gentiles to be come in soon and very soon. Lord, we love you this morning and we thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals and stand for a closing hymn this morning. Open up your hymnals to 84, an appropriate hymn to close with. 84, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Don't you love him this morning, church? Oh, he's such a blessing. I mean, no matter how bad my day's going, Jesus is right on time. He's right there with me. I am so thankful for that. William Featherstone wrote the incredible My Jesus, I Love Thee. And I know thou art mine. And we will sing. I'm not sure which stanza. We'll find out quickly here. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Thank you, Lord.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I
indeed, church. We are blessed today. Brother Mark, if you could dismiss us a prayer. Don't forget, tonight we'll be back in our studies of the millennial kingdom. Oh, it's going to be good.
Dear Lord Jesus, in our walks of life, in where we go, we know you're with us. And because you're with us, we can reign in your glory into eternal life.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you.